Great, thank you. Okay, so you can see the title for the talk this morning. Okay, you can see the title for the talk this morning, Living in the Realm of Grace, and underneath I've subtitled it, well, it's not really a subtitle, it's an explanation, Releasing Forgiveness. And we're continuing our mini-series that John started last week, looking at the power of the blood of Jesus. And John was sharing last week about the power of the blood, powerful to save, powerful to protect, to heal, and to bless. His blood enables us to conquer. Just one drop of his blood is so powerful. And through his blood, sin was defeated, death was defeated, sickness was defeated. And our forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel, but it came with a price. Blood had to be shed. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, Hebrews 9 tells us. It's about those who deserved mercy, who deserved judgment, receiving mercy. It's about those who've messed up really bad in life, receiving forgiveness from God. It's about the sinner being made holy because the Holy One was made sin in our place. Isn't this just such an incredible message? Gospel means good news. I mean, isn't it such good news for us to share with the world? And actually, it can seem too good to be true at times. I remember knocking on the door once, and a Muslim guy answered the door. And he was saying, "We just don't get it. Your faith that the Holy Son of God, who's never sinned, would die for our sins. That's not justice," he said. "That's not justice. If he was holy, he shouldn't have died. Those which are sinful should have died." And of course, I agree. I understand what he's saying. He's thinking an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And that's what their Sharia law is based on and embraces. But that's not the message of Jesus. So I totally understand where they're coming from. I totally understand this blockage in not maybe just the Muslims' minds, although you know they're very hot on some of these things. I understand that. But that's what makes the Christian gospel so incredibly amazing. Of course, it's about justice. But thank God it's not just about being fair. If it was, I wouldn't have made it. Being fair would have meant that Jesus didn't have to die, and I did, or you did. I deserved judgment and death. I didn't deserve love and mercy, but that's what I've received. And even now, when I mess up, there's still love and mercy to cover that too. I was pleased, well, I sort of encouraged it a bit, didn't I, that we continued with that song, on and on and on, his love goes. Never ending, never ending, never ending. When I'm walking well with God, his love's there for me. When I'm walking away from God, his love's there for me. Nothing stops the love of God being shared abroad and imparted, not just to his people, but to the world. He loves the world as well. Isn't that amazing? But a penalty had to be paid for sin, because God is just and holy. And justice demanded a penalty. Blood had to be shed. Bulls and goats sufficed in the past, but a superior sacrifice was made. Jesus would die instead of us. So what Romans says, God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He paid the price we deserved. He died that we might live. But he didn't leave it there. Look at this verse. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Some of these words will be familiar to some of you, and I just want to ask and pray that there's something fresh comes to you. He gave us life. Not just life when we die, Thank God for eternal life that goes on forever, but life now, abundant life now. He's raised us up to be seated with Christ now. Just imagine a line. Heaven's above it and earth is below it. He's called us to be seated with him. There's a kingdom from above breaking in to earth below. We pray your kingdom come, heaven come down. That spiritual realm is above. That natural realm is below. Salvation and life are up here. But down below the line, it's death and it's condemnation. But Jesus is inviting us to move from death and judgment and condemnation, that natural, that way of life. But he's saying, come and live with me. Above that line, in the realm of the Spirit, in the supernatural. Here there's a life of fellowship, of grace, of forgiveness, of the supernatural. Up here, we operate by faith. Down here, we think by logic. How can we work things out? I'm not sure it's possible, but up here, all things are possible. Because we're living by faith. We come above the line. Jesus invites us to come above the line. And up here, it's the realm of the Holy Spirit. Down here, it's the realm of natural man. And we try to do things in our own strength, and we get tired, and we wear ourselves out. But up here, he says, come up here. This is the realm of the Spirit. This is where God pours out life and love, forgiveness and grace and mercy. Down there, it's law and it's judgment. Up here, it's God and fellowship with him. But to enjoy this realm, there's an important condition. The entrance is called forgiveness. Starts off with us receiving his forgiveness. I love the song we sang, No Condemnation. Boldly, I can come through that gateway of forgiveness. Boldly, I come through there to approach the throne, washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm not a musician, but I think then we should be building up the music. Louder, 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 louder. This is the art of celebration. You know, we went quieter, but I think it should be built. Sorry, I'll let musicians do what they're doing. But, you know, this is the art of celebration. It's coming through that place. It's forgiveness. It's grace. It's sins washed away. No wonder we dance. No wonder we rejoice, because we can come through that door of forgiveness and approach with confidence and boldness. But it continues with us being prepared to give forgiveness. Aha, and that's what I want to be really mainly talking about this morning. But let's have a look at this scripture from Paul again, just telling us about his life. He says, he's quoting the voice that he heard, I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you've seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people, God's saying to the Apostle Paul, and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. It's like the whole world lies forgiven, but they are all in judgment because they have not accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to stay down here with sin ruling our lives. But the invitation is forgiveness of sins to all who come to him. The slate being wiped clean. God's memory is a bit tricky when it comes to sin. Because once it's wiped clean, he doesn't even remember it took place. That's what scripture tells us. He now just sees me, you, as holy and righteous because of what Jesus has done. By the blood, power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful invitation. Paul says, we preach this gospel so that they may receive, so the world may receive, and many of us have received it, forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are being sanctified by faith. What an incredible gift. What an incredible gift. But releasing forgiveness, once we've received it, is a key to us enjoying communion with God. This is Jesus. Oh, that's the gift. This is Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. He'd just been up all night, been tortured, being bashed, being bruised, being beaten. Crown of thorns on his head, mocking took place, spat in his face, his beard was pulled out, and they crucified him. Verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Do you know what? I don't think it was quite like that even. It would have been, "Father," and as he took another breath, "Forgive them. They don't know. They don't know what they've done." As he hung up there on the cross, and he could see them casting lots for his clothes. No apology, no repentance, no acknowledgement of wrong, just incredible grace from the heart of God, the heart of Jesus on the cross. "Father, forgive." You see, forgiveness is a gift. Who likes gifts? Most of us like a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. And in theory, those soldiers were offered this gift. Most of them would have ignored it. But Jesus was wanting to give them a gift of forgiveness. That was the heart of God. They didn't deserve it. But he wanted to give them a gift of forgiveness. He wants to give you a gift of forgiveness. But we need to take it in order to receive it. You see, Jesus was living at that higher realm. It's unnatural on the cross to speak what he spoke. But he was full of grace and truth. The soldiers, cruel, nasty, brutes and thugs, they'd scourged him. They'd left him half dead. Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They didn't deserve it. They didn't ask for it. They were totally ignorant of their wrong. But Jesus wanted to offer them the gift of forgiveness." And that's what Jesus offers us. But we have to come and we have to take hold of this gift of forgiveness in order to receive his forgiveness. And some of you today might be thinking, "I don't deserve it. You, if you knew what I'd done, there's no way that I would be entitled to such a gift." But the truth is, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. That's what the gift is. It's gone as you come to him. It's gone. It's free. It's free. He wants to give it to you. He wants you to take it. Forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Whatever you've done can be forgiven. It's an amazing miracle. Amazing miracle. It's called grace. No works, no religious behavior, no keeping religious rules. Just love, just mercy, and forgiveness. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, that's just the beginning, but what an amazing beginning. But living in this realm of grace requires us to be dispensers as well as receivers of grace. Amen. Amen. So we can't enjoy the benefits of grace and live at this realm up here and then decide, having received forgiveness up there, we're going to dispense judgment down here. We've got to make a choice. Do we want to be those that receive forgiveness from God and therefore, because we forgive and we release forgiveness from God, or do we want to be those who would much prefer to get our own back and to judge and to condemn and lose that incredible gift that God's given us by coming down to this realm? We've got a choice to make. Do you want to live up here in grace and freedom? Or do you want to live down here, tied up, broken, bitter, without any sense of the joy of forgiveness? That's the challenge I want to give to you today. Let me explain what I mean. This is what Jesus says. "You've heard that it's said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Where do you think this is being lived at? Down there or up here? This is certainly above the line, isn't it? This is higher level Christianity. If anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt, hand over your coat. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Give to the one who asks. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it, that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. This is higher level stuff. This is not down there. This is up here. This is stuff that's, our heart has been changed. Something's happened inside. Down there, it's just outside. Rules, trying to live by this, that, and the other. But something's happened on the inside here now. We've been invited up to be with him. New covenant, his will, his rule in our hearts. And it's totally impossible. Certainly is down there, a bit tricky up here as well. But it's totally impossible. But he gives us grace to actually turn the other cheek. That person doesn't deserve that grace, but that's irrelevant. We're called to live at a higher level. We can receive love for the unlovely up at this level because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Living on this level, we don't hate, we love. Jesus says, love your enemies even. We don't withhold forgiveness. We actually forgive from the heart. We keep short accounts. We deal with offense. And we willingly give away our gift of forgiveness to others too. And they don't deserve it either, but nor did we. We didn't deserve it and received it. And now the privilege we have is to say, here, I'm forgiving you too. And we give them the gift of forgiveness. I'm not saying it's easy. That's why we have grace to draw on, so that we can live like Jesus is calling us to live. On this level up here, it's not about justice, we're getting rid of offences, it's not about retaliation, it's not about getting our rights, it's not about hatred or demanding anything, it's simply, here's my gift, you really, really hurt me, but I forgive you. Receive his forgiveness. And as we give that away, we continue to enjoy freedom and love and relationship with God. As soon as we withhold it, we begin to find a connection with God isn't what it used to be. I'm not saying we've lost our salvation, but I'm saying the connection is not what it used to be. Let me read a scripture or two to help you understand that. You see, withholding forgiveness is a major blockage to us enjoying relationship with God. In the middle of the Lord's Prayer and immediately after it, Jesus talks about the need to forgive. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us what we've owed you through our wrongs as we forgive those who've wronged us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We pray, Father, forgive as we've been forgiven. There's an assumption here, isn't there? Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. We've already done that. Forgive as we forgive. But he goes on in verse 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Thank you, Lord. If we forgive them, give them their gift, then we receive that forgiveness and continue to live in the good of it. But if you do not give that gift to others, if you not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I think we should all say, ouch. Mark says this, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. Challenging verses. If you forgive, this is the safest place to be. If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you release the gift, you can receive the gift. If you don't, he won't. And if you're praying, Jesus says, don't pray with unforgiveness in your heart. If you know you've got something against somebody, it's not always appropriate to go and see them. They might be across the world or whatever it might be. But if you know you've got something, sort it out first. Sort it out, because that is going to block your prayers and our relationship together. I was shocked the other day on our encounter when I had to write down, we were talking about forgiveness, my wife's name. I'd never written it down before as like somebody I had to forgive. And I'd not twigged consciously, but I realized there was something that had happened which had affected me towards Jackie. And I had to write down Jackie and release forgiveness. And I went home, I said, Jackie, this is the first time. I'm really sorry, I can't believe it, but I had to deal with this. Oh, she said, I'm always putting your name on there. Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah. So now we're dealing with it more regularly. Because she wants to be forgiven and I want to be forgiven. But we need to release forgiveness, that we can receive forgiveness and live in the good of that forgiveness and that sense of a clean heart, no offense, nothing holding me back, no bitterness, no anger. It's gone because I've released it. I've given it away. I've forgiven you, and you can have this gift from me. Hallelujah. It's not easy. I realize that. Previous girlfriend of a friend of mine became pregnant with a baby, his baby, and she aborted it without even telling him. He was so upset and angry. It was a number of years ago, before he was a Christian. He could not forgive. He hated her for destroying this little life he'd helped to create. He was angry and he was bitter. And then he became a Christian. And eventually, through just receiving, teaching, understanding, but the grace of God, he came up to me one day and he said, Neville, you know that situation I told you? It's dealt with. I've released forgiveness. It's gone. All that time, for years and years and years, there was this, everything. You can imagine the emotions, anger, hatred. It's gone. I've given her my gift. She didn't receive it, but I've given it her. It's gone. We need to give away forgiveness so that we can enjoy the freedom that God wants us to bring. A few years ago, we had a major misunderstanding here, and lots of bad stuff was being said about me and about us. Never to our face, but it was said to others, and many believe these bad reports without checking it out, and it was a really, really difficult time for me and for us. And we felt betrayed, and we felt angry but helpless to do anything about it. Since then, some of the people have come back, and I've apologized for not checking it out and realizing it wasn't quite as they were told, blah, 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 blah. But during this time, I remember calling out, crying out to God, God, I'm finding this difficult. Give me grace to forgive. Help me forgive. Help me release. Not, you know, maybe I've messed it all up big time. That's not the point. The point was out there. Things had been done which were wrong too. And I just had to get to that place to say, I forgive. I forgive. I don't understand it. I don't know why he didn't speak with me. I don't understand how it got to this place. Blah, 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 blah. That's irrelevant. Don't want to discuss it. Well, I didn't have this meeting like that, but in the heart, I forgive. I forgive. And I got to that place, and I still had to work so that the feelings came out here as well. So it wasn't just, oh, there's a gift, you take it. No. It was from the heart. Forgiveness from the heart. Forgiveness from the heart. And freedom came. Love came. That's what forgiveness does. It's because choosing as best as I can to live on this level here and not to go back down again to that level of judgment and offense. Sometimes there's no apologies or acceptance of wrong. Doesn't matter. We forgive. The soldiers didn't apologize to Jesus, but he forgave. And forgiveness, it needs to come from the heart, not just words. Yes, we need to feel the pain, the hurt, the rejection. We need to feel the pain. And through that pain, we release forgiveness. Us letting go, giving our gift. Maybe it's been marital unfaithfulness. Maybe it's sexual abuse, physical abuse. Maybe it's broken promises. Or words which have been spoken and they've really hurt. Maybe you've been rejected or let down by parents or felt abused by church leaders or employers. It can be so many things. None of these issues are easy to deal with. But let's not lose out on the joy of receiving our forgiveness by refusing to forgive others. We have an opportunity to be like Jesus and give them a gift of our forgiveness. And you know what, gifts are costly, but once you've given a gift, it's no strings attached. You're not waiting for an apology or expecting an apology. You might never get that. You've given the gift, it's gone. Don't owe me anything. There's nothing that I'm owed back. I've just given you freely a gift. Does that sound like God? Just gives us his gift freely. Gift of love, gift of his life, gift of forgiveness. Forgiveness won't change the past, but it will change our future. It won't change the past, but it will change our future. And it will take you up to a level of love, grace, and mercy. And I just would love the whole of LifeSpring to be saying, I don't want to live down here any longer. I want to deal with that offense. I want to deal with that hurt. I want to deal with what people have said. I want to receive grace that's going to take me up higher so I can enjoy a relationship with God and I can be a dispenser of love and grace to all those around. I read this story yesterday. The former televangelist Jim Bakker, in his autobiography, I Was Wrong, this is a guy from America 30, 40 years ago, I think, tells of his descent into ignominy. What's that, Malk? Anyway, whatever that is, doesn't sound good. Impoverishment and imprisonment. He lost his freedom, his sanity, his dignity, his confidence in his faith, and eventually even his wife. Inmate 07407058, one-time confidant to presidents, had hit rock bottom. At his very lowest point, a prison official told him, Billy Graham is here to see you. He thought, Billy Graham has come here to this place to see me? And when he walked into the room, Billy Graham turned towards him and opened his arms wide. At that moment, Jim Bakker felt total acceptance and love. I will never forget that the man who had just been voted one of the most influential men in the world and who has ministered to millions of people took time out of his busy schedule to come minister to one prisoner. He describes how in the midst of his depression, flu, filth and hopelessness, Billy Graham's visit refreshed his heart and boosted his spirit. I felt as though Jesus himself had come to visit me. Isn't that amazing? What was Billy Graham doing? Well, most of the church by then, pointed finger, lost his place, lost his position, lost his place of honour, lost his respect and everything else. Billy Graham says, you're forgiven. And because God forgives you, I forgive you too. Receive this gift. And Jim Bakker felt like, came from there up to here. Wow. That's the power of forgiveness. Power of mercy, the power of love. Would you join me? So, church, come up higher. Let's be like Billy Graham. Let's be like Jesus. Let's come in the opposite spirit of what we're owed and decide, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to release grace. And let's impact this town of Reading with a gospel of love because Jesus died for them all. Amen. Could you stand up with me, please? I'd like us to pray a prayer together. And it's a prayer acknowledging that we've done wrong, been wronged, but it's a prayer choosing to forgive. I'm inviting you to join me. If you don't feel you can say these words, please don't say them. But if you're going to be able to say these words, say them and mean them from your heart, because Jesus is inviting you to come and sit with him in heavenly places. And too many of us stay down there because of the attitude of our hearts and miss out on what God wants for you and for us. But this prayer is a prayer acknowledging, yes, I forgive. I forgive those that hurt me. And some of you might need to come forward later on just for prayer to help you stand and to receive prayer. Or maybe you've been abused and you're just finding that hard. Whatever it might be, there might be needs that get provoked through what I've said or through this prayer. Then come forward. Some of you have never received this incredible gift from God at all. You didn't realize that all of your messed up life could be dealt with. And you could have a relationship with God and live up here forever. You've never realized that before. You didn't realize that salvation was totally free, that Jesus died, his blood was shed for your forgiveness. It'll be almost impossible for you to give forgiveness away if you've not received it yourself. But the good news this morning is, whoever you are, if you can believe, if you choose to turn away from the bad stuff, and you come to him, you can receive his forgiveness and your slate can be wiped totally clean. No barrier hold between you and God because of the powerful blood of Jesus which was shed. I just want to ask before I pray with everybody, is there anybody here that would like to make that confession now? They'd like to say, I just need to give my life either back to God or to God for the first time and receive his forgiveness. Is there anybody here at all? Just raise your hand so that I can see it. It's the most amazing gift. Totally undeserved. Thank you. Totally undeserved. But available to each and every one of us. Don't have to have it all worked out in our head. It's faith. It's I receive. One person. Anybody else just like to say, yes, I need to. I receive that gift for the first time. Thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you for that young woman who's committed her life to you and receiving that free gift of forgiveness for the first time today. And Lord, just as there's much rejoicing in heaven, there's much rejoicing in our hearts too. Let's just praise God, shall we? That young woman today has walked through that gate called forgiveness into a relationship with God. And many of us have already walked through that gate. So I'd like us to pray this prayer, because this helps us stay in that relationship. So would you be happy, those that feel able to, just to pray this prayer with me? Lord, thank you for the amazing gift of forgiveness of sins. As I confess, you wipe the slate clean. Thank you. And as I have been forgiven, I too release forgiveness. I forgive all those who have wronged me in the past. Those who have been unfaithful to me. Those who have abused and betrayed me. Those who have rejected and abandoned me. I forgive those in the church, friends, cell leaders, pastors, ministries, and I let go of all offense. Thank you that I can live in the realm of grace because I have been forgiven and choose to forgive from my heart. Amen. 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 That's powerful prayer. If you meant that, that's powerful. And some of you may mean it and you need to deal with situations in response to that. Others of you may still be on that journey. Well, we want to pray because I want to see everybody from up, from down there to be able to live in this great plan of God that he has for us, a fellowship and relationship up here with him. We're going to sing a song in closing, Amazing Grace, because it is amazing. How sweet the sound. You know, it's amazing that we can forgive. You can forgive. I mean, I really do it because of the grace and the love that we've received from him. But we've been forgiven. We've received his grace. So we're going to sing this song. And I've asked for the one where the refrain is, my chains fell off, is it? My heart was free.
Yeah? My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My chains have gone. I've been set free. Because that's what happens when we release forgiveness. That chain gets broken. That chain's broken forever. I've been set free. So let's celebrate, let's really rejoice with this song and declare it with faith this morning. Thank you.
Amen.